Welcome back to Quick Up Sports Podcast. You're listening to part two of my interview with Nadozi Ebere from Tori. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
And and you did bring up on the pod about a lot of changes happening, a lot of shifts are happening in the different spaces that you're interacting in. So would you give us maybe some opportunities that you see, some growth, some changes, be it in the sports industry, in the content creation process, or any marketing space?
Yeah, I mean, with sports, I feel like there's this wave of change that's coming in terms of governments becoming more interested in investing in infrastructure. We're going to see more arenas being built in different cities across Africa, just as we've seen in Rwanda. And they're going to be huge revenue-generating opportunities for these countries. And I think that provides an opportunity for sports to become more developed on the continent, which in turn gives young people more opportunities to create and to serve, you know. Because, I mean, at some point, the idea of providing opportunities for young people would no longer be a question. Like, it's something that's going to happen. And I don't think we're the only ones who are keeping our foot on the ground and saying that these people deserve a chance and they're going to be part of the system. It's something that is actually happening in different spaces, education, whatever, like entertainment. So I think it's going to be more universal when there are more opportunities created. And I think with content, it's like the introduction of AI into the creation process has made it in such a way that literally anyone can get involved. And I think we're starting to demystify what content creation means. It's not always about a celebrity of some sort. They say you're a musician like what we call typical influencers, people who have figured out a way to look good, better than other people, and now they are able to like build a following around their brand. We're seeing people who, like, content creation would evolve into a space where content creation will evolve into like a period when people are interested in building authority around what they know how to do. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you get what I mean. Like, how you are into sports coaching, like, the influencers of the future are people who will become influencers because of what they know, not because of how they look or the spaces they have access to, you know. So people will look up to you to take ideas or to take tips, like, you know, on how to live healthy. And because right now it's people who are not even connected to the industries that are doing the influencing work. Like, if somebody has a large following, now suddenly they're promoting like a protein shake that they probably know nothing about, you know. So I believe that opportunity for just anyone to become a content creator is coming. Like, I think it's already here, but like, it's going to take shape more, where people are going to become influencers based on what they know and what they've interacted with, not because of who they are or what they look like, you know. We're going to see more young people acquiring skills at a faster rate because, I mean, AI removes their mundane and repetitive aspects of content creation and now leaves you with a world of, like, opportunity to be creative. It exposes you to information that you don't have, or like capabilities that you didn't have before, and now allows you to like get more accurate with what you do and be faster with the work that you're doing. And I see also a lot of opportunities with the events and the I would say opportunities again that are coming to Africa. I feel like Africa has experienced different stages of recognition. The first was discovery, when people in the West came to find like the gold here. They came to see that there is gold in the continent. It could mean anything. Gold could mean anything. But they came to the continent and they saw that this is extraordinary. These people have their thing going on. There's good music. Now the second stage was when we took that gold to them. And I think that stage is wrapping up now, where you have like Africans topping up like the international scene. Like, they are going to the international world and they are taking over, like, you know. I think the next stage will be bringing it home, like, and I think that is starting slowly. We see award ceremonies are now coming to Africa. It's no longer about Africans going abroad to represent the continent in flying colors. Like, yes, we've seen that is commendable, but I think the next phase now is when big things are going to find their way to Africa. And we're seeing that a lot. We're going to see more international football competitions coming to the continent. We're going to be seeing more conferences that are world class coming to the continent. We're going to be seeing things happen in Africa that has never happened before. And I think what will cap that off is Africa also building their own thing to the level that those international things have gotten to. So with that in mind, that creates a world of opportunities for young people to jump into the content creation space, because those stories need to be told, you know. So we're going to see more and more young people thriving in the space. And I hope they don't give up easily, because it's not going to be easy. But I think it's going to be really worth it, because those are things that keep us moving. And I think this is a sentiment I share with my co-founder, Siba. We just, whenever the thought of giving up comes up, we realize that we're also just doing our part to prepare ourselves and the people that believe in us for the future that is coming.
No, that's very true. I think definitely the future definitely looks bright, especially again looking at the aspect of a lot of young people who are coming through educated and experienced in the different fields and taking advantage of those different opportunities despite the hardships, despite everything. They're not giving up, and they're making sure we keep going, keep moving forward and bringing those opportunities. I think even as an example with Masai Ujiri, with his Giant of Africa project, with the work he's doing in Africa and what he was doing recently at the concert, it's definitely opportunities that are coming our way. And I think it's the usual stuff that usually gets in the way. It's just maybe old mindsets or some corruption here and there, but we keep fighting, and I think we'll be able to move on. Now, you've been through multiple projects and you've worked on so many things in your portfolio. What would you say has been the most interesting or most exciting project you've ever worked on so far?
I mean, I have a bias towards tournaments over like concerts. I really love how, because sporting events give you the opportunity to develop like a narrative without even knowing it. I mean, we can always tell different stories, but those stories feeding into a narrative about something. I think the most exciting one has been the VAO for sure. And the reason for that is that I just love how they've managed to use sports as a welding, as like a magnet for different sectors on the continent to come together. We see the involvement of music, right? We see the involvement of other forms of entertainment beyond music. And we see celebrities from different walks of life finding the way to connect with each other because of sports, right? We see the involvement of fashion in the picture. Like, we see them being able to bring in food, of like empowering people who are into food, like they're bringing that on board. We see how they are also driving content creation. I think that's one brand that I've met that really values content creation more than most people can actually imagine. So you see them, like they're also bringing in that aspect into sports, and sports becomes like the center point for all of these things. And it really moves on pretty quickly. And this is similar to what happens with the Champions League or the Premier League out there. Like, you see how sports is the center point for a lot of things. And I just enjoy that. I just enjoy creating in such spaces. I think BAO for sure has been the most exciting. Of course, there's Giants of Africa as well for similar reasons. I just love how, like, at some point you tend to forget that it's about basketball, about empowering youth with basketball, because there's so much that was brought to like the surface with Giants of Africa, like the dance, the entertainment. I mean, watching the opening ceremony, there were so many layers of appreciation of African culture that came forward with that. I mean, also the celebration of pop culture, being able to meet Ciro Savage, you know, Davido, Diamond, and Tyler, like on the same stage. Thinking at, like, about how that was made possible with sports, like it's just amazing. So it also gave us the chance. It also gives us the chance to be creative. I mean, I'm very like, I never stop talking about how the team that we work with found a way to impress, like outdo themselves during some of these tournaments, and how we use emotional storytelling to, like, you know, tell a story about this tournament in a way that not most people would. So like it's just what sports can do. Those projects are definitely like the top of my list for the reasons I just mentioned. Yeah.
No, I think that's definitely a wonderful experience. I think I myself have seen from the sidelines and then been involved in a few other sporting events. And it's always, like you're saying, where you unintentionally end up making that storytelling process of an underdog team. Maybe it's their first time in a tournament and they're thrashing everyone, some last-minute move, someone makes a score in the last minute, and the progress keeps on going. And sometimes, I guess, you even have the funny stories. We won't name the name of the country where certain things, they start doing certain things outside a stadium, and people start questioning the ethics of the teams. And you can't document it, you still remember it, I think, being in that space.
Yes.
And you see, but you also learn different cultural practices. I think you also, aside of the players, you get to see the fans and that love.
Yeah.
That you see people who've traveled over, and also people who are just in that space or in that country, like that diaspora, how the diaspora is supporting those activities in various ways. And it also supports you by being present, filling up the arena, allowing you to create that content. And and the difference is, I think, you know, and you get to judge athletes a lot less when you're like, oh, they lost. But when you've been there and you've seen all the hard work that it takes, the schedule, the tight schedules, the training, and you see another team training even harder, you understand why they lose. And be like, okay, it was just bound to happen. And then you won't.
Yeah, I think we've seen that a lot.
Exactly. You have no hard feelings towards it, even if it's your country that's losing or your team that's losing. And be like, no, I saw what the other team was doing, and they clearly deserved more. And I think that's a beautiful thing about those sporting events, is this, that culmination of all that hard work, years of training, and the support that functioning systems, functioning organization, and the importance of good management, I think, is also good.
That's key.
Exactly. The logistics around it are always key. I think if it's not the nutrition, the media content, like you were saying, certain restrictions, you don't see them partying out maybe during breaks or during the games and so on. It's very key. And and as we move on from that with the different projects, as we wrap up, that is, what advice would you give a young person out there who would like to get into your industry and be in the space that you're in?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with a mistake that I made when I started. I just wanted to learn what was happening, like what was trending at the moment. Just acquire that skill and be like everybody else and move on. And I think at the time we started, there were a lot of marketing agencies that were out there, and we just wanted to be like them without really understanding what our real strength was, until we hit a bump that changed our company forever. So I believe that there will always be new things that come up. There will always be new ways of doing things. There will always be new trends. AI didn't exist like 2 years ago. I mean at the level that it is now, you know. So I think the advice I would give is to focus on understanding the fundamentals first. Like, if you're trying to dive into maybe content or sports marketing, it's better to like spend enough time to understand the fundamentals, because they never change. I realize that fundamentals never change. They just evolve into something else. Like any new thing that has been created can be traced back to something very basic that the creator had a very good understanding of. So if you have the same understanding of the basics, nothing will faze you. Like, nothing will faze you. Like, you would thrive with any advancement that comes up. And I think that's something I had to go back to do, understand the basics and understand that human psychology is at the base of content creation. And once I was able to get started on that, it was easier to create my own space, like to carve out my own space in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing is, I think it's going to take some time for a lot more people to believe in young people, especially on this part of the world. So I think maybe people shouldn't seek recognition. I mean, that is something we prioritize, my partner and I. Like, it's more about, because when it comes to creativity, it comes from the heart. And the heart does need a lot of validation most times, especially when it's really put in time to create something. So, but I think it's a bit counterproductive to focus on that, because you might not get a lot of it early in the game. So it's better so validation could be in terms of looking for fair compensation at the beginning, like feeling like you're entitled to like certain spaces. Sometimes that doesn't really work out. It's worked out for some people, but it's not always like the best route. So I usually advise that people trade their time for projects, like instead of trading their time for money. Like, it's better to like get as much work that you can do early without really thinking about the money. But maybe some people might argue that, but how am I going to get by if I'm not making money? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a question of, if you have something that gives you money and you wanna dive into this space, right? It's better to like sort out your finances, maybe with a job or anything else. But then when it comes to the content creation, it's usually not the best option to start expecting money to flow in upfront. It does happen for some people, but it's not the best. So it's better to like tackle your financials before you start diving into the space. But you need to trade your time at the beginning, taking up a lot of projects, and then you now get to a place where you have a portfolio that you can boldly ask for something in return. And I think for me, although this may not work for so many people, it's usually good to have to work with partnerships, to find people who are already like established in the space, and partner with them as the next step after you've built a portfolio, and helping them do what they're already doing. And that allows you to learn about the business a lot more, to learn about the areas that you can actually innovate and to really figure out how to carve out your own space. So now you have fundamentals, you have a portfolio, and you have a little bit of business experience. And then you can now start asking for more, and it's going to be easier to get more. I don't even think we're at the point where we can ask for more. I think we're right now at the point where we're learning the industry. Like, we're literally trying to learn as much as we can about the space. And once you get that sorted, you can now say your price, and people would gladly give it to you. And I think as much as possible, if you can, please build a business and empower other people and create opportunities for other people. Because that for me is like the biggest gift anybody can give back like to society. If you can't create a business, try and help somebody else who has created one to grow it. Because at the end of the day, what it does is that it provides opportunities to people who originally probably not have gotten those opportunities. So I think those are like the four things that I would really just advise the person to do.
Okay. No, that's very, I think, very detailed experience to all the young people listening out there. And also the young at heart, I think it's also important to take in all these bits of information, because it's, again, it's a long process, as you've heard from Nadozi explain in this podcast, that so many aspects have to come together. Not everything falls in place, but at the end, as long as you keep the dream alive within you, it always works out in the end. Now, our penultimate question before we head into our quiz: what do you do in your downtime outside of work? Now, you see, like, you're always busy with all this content creation or whatever. What? How do you get out of that headspace and like into other things? What do you do when you're away from your screen and you shut down the creative cloud?
Yeah, creative cloud. So I think I'm a very big music lover. I mean, I try to share that part of myself online sometimes, but I really love to geek out on music and understand how sounds evolve. And I'm always creeping on albums and trying to. I think currently, I'm currently listening to Walk of Art. Yeah, I know I'm already too late, but I really enjoy the work. I think I also enjoyed listening to I Told Them, and I think the next will be Roga's album. I mean, I also love African music. I like to go back in time to listen to traditional musicians. And that's when I started to realize how much people steal from the past and build the future. But like it's interesting. And also I think music has like a way of improving your mood and helping you relax or bringing you and like giving you energy. Like, you know, I do that a lot. I also listen to podcasts, like fun ones, not the ones where people are teaching, like podcasts where people are actually literally gossiping about, especially Nigeria, like Nigerian podcasts. You should really check it out. There's a lot of interesting things going on there. I also listen to music podcasts. Currently, my favorite is Zero Conditions. You should probably check it out. It's they talk about the pop culture in Nigeria and what is happening. There's Honest Bunch as well, which is really literally pop culture podcast. And then hanging out with friends. I don't have so many of those. So I think music really takes up a lot of time. So yeah, that's, and then movies as well. But I think music is number one.
Music is number one. I think, yeah, we definitely have that in common. For me, it's also the same. And also, I mean, Afrobeats rules the world. I think there's nothing to go where Afrobeats is up playing. I'm sure you have a mic and you also have your machine. I'm just waiting for the one day you also start making your own.
I used to do that. I realized I needed to pay bills, then I stopped.
What are you saying about musicians? Yeah. What are you saying about musicians? Wow.
I mean, look, the thing is, there are very few people who actually crack through the space. I mean, speaking from a Nigerian perspective, although things have become easier now because streaming has really evolved and people can actually put their thing out there and self-promote. But look, it wasn't like that 3 years ago, honestly, because it's harder because you put in a lot of time. Like, music is something people create from their head. Like, you know, something that you create out of nothing. From lyrics to production to release, it's resource intensive. Mm-hmm. And there is no guarantee that you're going to succeed as well, mm-hmm. No matter how good you are, mm-hmm. at least from the Nigerian perspective. So I thought about all of that and, you know, I was like, okay, I just enjoy this, but not enough to want to make a business out of it or to make a living out of it. So I just calm down. But every now and then I go to the studio and, you know, got something that I never release. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's it. But I think music has evolved and artists are actually making money now that we're back from COVID and people can actually go for shows. I mean, that's like at the ground level, but there I know like a couple of friends who go to bars here in Kigali to sing over the weekend after doing the 9 to 5, and I think that also pays some money as well. So maybe if I had stuck around a little longer, I probably would be doing that at the moment. But yeah, like that was the reason I quit then.
It's okay. No slight. The musicians will come for you in your DMs. That's on you.
No, I mean, come on. Like I'm your biggest fan. So.
All right.
Relax.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much for having the time to come on the podcast and definitely delivering such a fountain of knowledge. I think I might even split this up into multiple sections, like part one, part two, part three. Very, very powerful piece of conversation that we've had. And now as we end, I've made a very biased, the first time I made a biased quiz, trivia, just 5 questions. Wow. But they're all Nigeria related.
Okay. I'm the least Nigerian person you meet. I'm the least Nigerian.
You can't say that.
I get that a lot. But let's find out.
Hey, Lucy. So I've even helped you by giving you, you know, something. And if anything, you come away from this learn having known something. All right.
Okay.
So the first question. How many AFCON trophies does Nigeria have?
Am I allowed to Google?
No Google. This is a problem. Had I done this in person, I would have been able to know. How many AFCON trophies does Nigeria have?
Hmm. Okay, I watch football, but I don't think I count the trophies for Nigeria. I don't know, four? But I know it's more than what Ghana has.
yes, Nigeria and Ghana. Well, you said you're off by one. You said four. The answer is
actually, it's three.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very low. Damn.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We have a lot of work to do. Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of work to do.
Number two, Nigeria is currently ranked number one in the FIBA rankings. That's for men's national basketball, and 19 in the world. Which team is number two? Which country is number two, rather?
If it's not Senegal, then I don't agree with the list.
What did you see?
And I'm saying if it's not Senegal, like I've seen Senegal play. Okay, well, there's also Uganda, which is doing pretty well nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I think Senegal is another team I respect. So is it Senegal?
You're off again by one. Senegal is number three, actually, behind Tunisia.
Oh, wow. Why did I forget? I think I forgot about the North because of how much they win everything. So. I think Tunisia should check out pretty well because they are always winning. Yeah.
Okay. So. Now number three, name the Nigerian athlete who broke the 100-meter hurdles record in 2022 at the World Athletics Championships. At the World Athletics Championships.
Ah, man, see what I told you? I'm the least Nigerian.
It was big news.
It's a lady, I think.
Yes, yeah. Yes, you all know.
I remember it's a lady, but I don't know her name. Very bad with names.
Okay.
But it's a lady. Yeah. Oh.
All right. So.
Can you please remind me her name?
Toby Amusan.
Toby Amusan. Okay. Yes. That doesn't ring a bell. Yeah, because I know it's.
If I'm not wrong, I think you reposted a post about it.
That's the thing. But I didn't even check the name. I was just happy that a Nigerian did something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next one, number four. Name the first Nigerian player to enter the EPL, and in what year?
Huh. It's gotta be either JJ Okocha or Kanu Nwankwo. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But not the year. Well, first of all, am I right in those?
You're far off.
Far off?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Then, wait, the EPL, that's the English Premier League?
Yes.
The first?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I think the Nigerians will be disappointed at this point. There's no coming back from this one. Wait, hold up. Which other Nigerian player? Vincent Nyama, is that? Yeah.
You're way off, my friend.
Those ones are recent.
Yes.
Those are recent.
So the answer is Ifan Ekoku.
Okay.
The final question, drum roll. How many gold medals does Nigeria have in the Olympics?
Gold medals. I'm going to give a very, very big guess. Because I haven't been counting. But I'm sure it's not a lot because the sports sector is pretty competitive. So I'll just say maybe three or four. Okay, let's say three.
You are very correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh.
Yes, you're very correct.
Yeah, that was a wild guess.
Yes, that was a good guess. And the first one being won in 1996 at the Atlanta Olympics in long jump. So, yes, Nigeria has three. But you should give sports another chance to do something like archery, shooting, darts, and you might also get number four for Nigeria.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. We'll see. I'm sure a lot of people won't agree with you, but we'll see.
All right. So to finally wrap up, thank you so much for allowing this interview to go on. Thank you for coming on board. Do you have any last words or final words? I think you already given a lot of good advice, but what else? Any shout outs even that you'd like to give us?
Well, I mean, I would like to give a big shout out to my co-founder, Sibane Imalo, for continuously believing in every outrageous thing that I've pitched to her and always like supporting. And also to the team and all the young people that believe in us and the clients who buy into our vision. They are the ones keeping us in business, honestly. And also, stating that this is not the end. I mean, we do have a lot of projects that we're working on too that are solely focused on empowering young people to contribute meaningfully to content creation on the continent. And that is something we'll continue to believe in. And also to you for also like taking the flag up there and proving for a fact that young people can actually hold things down. And I love the work that you're doing and just keep it up. And to can just send the regards to your team as well. The work that they're doing is being noticed. And soon enough, you guys will be where you definitely deserve to be.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I appreciate, I think for fellow Southerners, the attempt at making the click in Siwa's name. I hope we're also teaching you some Xhosa as well to go along.
And that concludes my wonderful interview with Nadozi Ebere from Tori. Please follow him and Tori on multiple platforms. Link will be in the show description, so you can see more of their work as they build the content space in Africa. Please remember to also like and follow Kwiga Hub Sports on all platforms, as well as share the podcast. Thank you very much. We will meet again.